Okay, well, it's good to see you this morning. Let me be very transparent with you. I have had probably two of the worst weeks of my adult life that have gone on for the previous 2 weeks. Absolute two horrible weeks. Would not go into details with you. Some of you might know some of it. It has not been fun. It has not been good. It's a place I don't want to be. It's a place I find myself in. You getting that idea? Has this ever been you? Okay, so this isn't an example. This is the truth. It's just been a horrible set of 2 weeks that happened to go back to back for whatever reason God's got. So, you don't know much about my schedule, but when I'm getting ready to speak, I'm working about a month and a half ahead, and I typically have got my sermons written out, which I'd let anybody look at if you wanted to. The worship team's gotten in the habit of looking at them. And if you want to look at them, you may do that because they're written out 2 to 3 weeks ahead of time. This one was written out just 2 weeks ago before all the stuff started. So I was real good with throwing the facts on the paper of what I wanted to get out and et cetera and et cetera. But here's what happened, though. Over the past week or two, things in my life intensified and things got kind of, I'll just say it, they got kind of skunky. They just got kind of stupid skunky to the point now, if you get into my personality. As one thing after another got worse, I started to giggle because that's how I must deal with things because I just couldn't believe so much was going on in the situation that I was in and how worse it continued to get. And so reality is that went on for the 2 weeks, and this past week when I was doing the final edit on these written notes that are sitting here behind me, I found myself going, holy, okay, I got to say this. No, this is the way it hit. Oh, you know what? This is me not preaching this morning. This is me just sharing what the Scripture says about the situation that I was in. So here's what I'm going to do to give us focus this morning. I am going to ask you to bow your head. I'm not going to pray. This is focused thinking time. What I'd like you to do, though, is bow your head so you can focus on the very thing I'm asking you to do. So if everybody would bow their head, shut their eyes, do what you have to do so that you can hear my voice and see if you couldn't right now, with your head bowed, think of a tough situation in your life, one that could be called a hardship. And they vary in degree and type and difficulty. And they hurt, and sometimes they hurt deeply. Sometimes they don't hurt as much, but put enough of them together, they kind of hurt a lot. And in some cases, when you're in a situation like this, my past 2 weeks, there was no way out of it. And maybe you're in a situation like that, that there's just no solution in sight. Now think of that tough situation in your life. It could be a disease, a medical condition. Could be something stressing your mind. Could be something you're waking up at 2:30 in the morning that you're thinking about. It could be a loss. Could be an injury. It could be that somebody's hurt you. Could be disappointment with a spouse or with a child or a friend. Or it could be a persecution on account of your faith. Could you right now, not out loud, but could you put your finger in your mind on the one hardship or persecution right now that if you could fix, you'd fix? But it just doesn't seem like you can. Can you locate that in your mind right now? I'm going to let things go silent here for a few seconds. Have you do that, okay? Okay, look up at me and do a gesture to me. That's a dangerous thing to say, isn't it? Do a gesture toward me. Go like this. I got one. Just everybody's got one, right? Just about everybody's got one. Personal or within your realm of family, okay? Now, what if I told you this? That very thing that you were just thinking about, the Scripture talks about in many different places. And how about I tell you this, that the very hardship, the very suffering item that you just came across in your mind is addressed in the Scripture. And for me, I don't know why, but I'm wired. It's bad enough that something happens to me or something's going on with me that's a hardship or a suffering. But you know what? I always want to go behind and say, well, why did that happen? Why is that happening? How did that happen? What were those people thinking? For some reason, I like the backstory. And the Scripture gives us the backstory on suffering happening to you and to me, and to hardship happening to you and to me. And listen very carefully. If you listen to the Scripture this morning, not Mike, if you listen to the Word of God this morning and let the Holy Spirit teach you, it will restructure your mind and the way you think and the way you handle the hardships and sufferings in your life. Deal? So this morning, open-eyed prayer, here it is. We're asking the Holy Spirit, our tutor, our teacher, to teach us about this very difficult area of hardship and suffering. That's what we're looking for this morning from our personal God who's involved in our everyday life. Got it? That's what I'm expecting this morning, and I know that's what we're going to get. OK, Okay, with that said, I am in the book of Hebrews this morning, which will do the teaching for us in chapter 12. I've got verses 7 to 11 that we're going to cover specifically. In fact, it's on the board in front of you, or you can open it in front of you on your phone or your Bible. But I'm going to start reading, and I'm going to go back a couple verses that you don't have, and I'm going to read from the proverb that's quoted here by the author of Hebrews. Let me read for you verses 7, well, it'll be 5 to 9. Here it is. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Don't blow it off, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Quote from Proverbs. Now here we go, verse 7 on the board in front of you. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? First point on your note sheet is a principle. And the principle is this, that I am to endure hardship as discipline. Hardship and tough times and suffering happens, and everybody. If there was one person in here who would raise their hand and say, I've never had a hardship in my life. My life has just been swimmingly nice. It's been wonderful. Well, we'd probably let that person teach because I want to learn their secrets. But it doesn't even matter what age you are. Tough times have come. Suffering has come. And it seems like for some people, more suffering comes than others. But it does happen to everybody. But there's a major difference you need to understand about hardship and suffering. First of all, this. The Scripture promises that in this life's existence, you will have hardship and suffering. No, duh. I didn't need to tell me that because I knew that. But let me go further. The fact is, it happens to everybody. The difference is, when you're a child of God, a believer in Jesus Christ, one of His children, that suffering and hardship has a purpose that God superintends and teaches. The other side is this, if you don't have Jesus Christ and you have suffering and hardship, which you will, many times it can lead to bitterness and grumpiness and etc. Oh, behold it. I've seen it on the side of the fence where the children of God are, those who believe in Jesus. Yeah, I have too. I really have. But I just want you to know, there's a major difference between these two groups. And the one group over here that believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior, the one group over here knows for sure that the personal God of the universe is personally involved with them and is using this time to do His work. Start to understand that, and you'll endure hardship as discipline. This purpose of God, by the way, and you might not see it. Here's the other thing. Is for His glory and for His kingdom expansion and for how He wants to mold you in ways you never imagined. That's just the way that it is. In fact, a few years, I should tell you this, and I don't talk much about my past or my background, but there's some things that have happened in my life that are just unbelievable when I shake my head. But when I was basically in my first pastorate, had a great team of staff, and there was this one girl who was 34 years old, rather tall girl. The reason I say this, my kids called her Big Bird. And yes, I may have started that. Anyway, not the point. And my little grade school kids called her Big Bird, and we were good friends with her and her husband. Her husband became my best friend, and we'd fish together and do stuff and blah, 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 blah. And for about 2 or 3 weeks, she complained. She didn't feel quite right. Something wasn't the matter, and she'd sit there and go like this on her head. Something's just not right. And several of us on staff say, you need to go to a doctor. And she said, yeah, I think I got to go to my doctor. And sure enough, she went. It was less than, I think, 3 or 4 days, less than a week. And they diagnosed her with a very aggressive form of cancer. And I'll just give you the end of the story. She died in less than 5 months. Wow. There was nothing they could do. One surgery and then done. And that was just it. I'm sorry. Doctors and medical people can't fix everything. But the point of the matter is this. I went to see Bonnie about 3 or 4 weeks before she died. And she was already set up in her home in hospice. I couldn't believe how quick things took place. I was sitting there, Dee and I were sitting talking to her. And I'm a young guy in the pastorate, and I'm thrown in these situations where I'm supposed to have all the wisdom of God. Just throw yourself in there. What magic words do you have for that person that you know is doing very poorly? Okay? It's tough. And I was sitting there with Bonnie, and I said, Bonnie, what do you make all this? And you know what she said to me? She said, Mike, you know, I've been thinking and praying about that. And she says, I know where this is going. And I didn't want to say, yeah, I do too. Oh, look at you. I didn't do that. But she said to me, I know where this is going, and I'm really good with it. And I'm a young guy. I'm in my 30s. And I'm staring at her, looking at her like, it's good? And then she said this, I know it's got the purposes of God all over it. And she said, I've just got that peace, and I see it as clear as a bell. And I'm very excited for how God's using this situation. She mentioned a few family members, a cousin, and a snack. And I sat there, and you know me, I can talk. Yeah. And I just shut my mouth and stared at her and thought, boy, is she schooling me right now about the purpose of God and the peace that's in her life. And sure enough, I did her funeral a few weeks after that. I will tell you something. She had the right perspective. She said she saw it clearly, and God had purposes in it. And you know, those purposes are to cause our growth. Those purposes are to draw us closer to Him. And here's my thing. I'm going to be real honest with you. If you want to teach me, if you want to make an impression upon me, here's how you do it. I love when I tell God stuff like this, okay? Here's what you do, God. I will go home today. There will be a knock at my door. And there will be a guy in a suit and a girl there, and they'll have a bouquet of flowers and a bunch of balloons and a check that's like 6 feet big. And they'll say, guess what? You are the winner of Publishing Clearinghouse for the third time this year. And here's your $30 million check. You know what, God? In that situation, I can really learn a lot. Thank you very much. Or like when I'm doing my yard work the other day. I go out in the backyard. I didn't tell you this, but I found a 75-carat diamond in my yard. And God keeps putting them in my yard. And every time He does, I pick it up and I run in the house and hide it. And I go, thank you, God. I learned another big lesson from you. Keep them coming. Now, you got to admit, wouldn't that be cool? Yeah, it would. It doesn't work that way. For whatever reason, and this I can't explain, this is His genius. It seems like we as human beings learn the most effective, or hold it, are taught in the deepest parts of our souls in the times in our life when things stink. When things are not going well, God seems like He is able to accomplish more in my life, having me endure hardship as discipline, and it will produce more fruit in my life than if the people are waiting for me on my front porch with a big check of millions of dollars. You get the idea? In our human condition, for whatever reason, that's where we learn. For whatever reason, our human condition, that's when we listen to the Holy Spirit. That's when we're sensitive to Him. It probably comes out of the aspect of, for me as a child of God, I think I go like this. Okay, God, what do you want I give? I can't fix this. That was meeting with Bonnie in the hospice set up in her house. I walked in that house, and sometimes I get in a situation like this, and I realize it's dire, and I think in the back of my mind, I don't say it out loud, I think in the back of my mind, I got nothing. I got nothing. I got no answer for this. And I remember walking in that house with my wife thinking, I got nothing I can say to her. And I know she's going to die. I thought she was going to last month. She didn't. But the truth of the matter is, she schooled me in a very tough time as to how God was leading her. And my attitude in these experiences is the key thing. The problem is it goes against the feel-good culture. Everything in our culture, including picked up by a bunch of rubbish, garbage, rogue preachers, I wouldn't even call them pastors, who happen to get on TV and preach this, that if you are living for Jesus Christ and if you are in a right relationship with God, they are going to show up at your house with a big check. And you are going to get the big carat diamond. And you know what? That's just the beginning. He's got more and more and more riches for you. And when you've got so many blessings that you think your barn is filled, He will continue to give you more blessings. That's not in the Scripture. And by the way, the people sitting in those audiences, including at home, they've got to go like this. You're saying this, and maybe you're getting a private jet, which is really cool. But over here where I live and with all my friends, we're struggling with hardship and discipline. And those people tend to say to these people, well, then you're not walking with God right. And it skews. It skews our faith because the general population of people out there see that stuff and they mock it. They mock it on Saturday Night Live. They lampoon it in magazines. and make fun of those guys because even they know that that teaching is junk. The real teaching is this. You will endure hardship as discipline. You will have suffering in your life. And the God of the universe wants to use it. He wants you to be responsive and soft and to be taught. And for me personally, it seems like through the toughest experiences, I hate to say this out loud, but it's true. In the toughest experiences of my life is when it seems like God has spoken the loudest. And it seems like in the toughest things that I've gone through my life, His voice was as clear as could be and His leading was as sure as can be. And I'm going to say this, and this has put me in a really bad spot right now, but I really mean this. I don't get up here and fake preach. This is the real deal. Sometimes when things are going pretty good, I kind of miss the times when they weren't going good because I felt a certain closeness with God that I don't experience all the time when things are kind of smooth. This is deep end of the pool stuff this morning. You hope to come in here and hear a light sermon and me to tell a cute little story about a puppy dog. And this is not what's going on. This is the real life that we live in Christ, and it's on your outline. Next point, there's a basis for this, and that is that He's my Father. Let me read for you verses 8 and 9, which I just did. If you're left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? I have a Father. I have a genuine loving Father, a loving Father who's here to correct me, a loving Father who's here to discipline me, a loving Father. Oh, forget all that. I can tell you what went on in my house growing up. When my dad was alive, if I did something and messed up, one time, I got to tell you something, I got in a fight one time. Never fight with anybody. You know me, I'm a lover. But not one person's buying that? Okay. Anyway, my impression of myself is that I'm a lover. But one time I got in a fight in the front yard, and I got to tell you, I didn't do very well in my own front yard. And so lo and behold, I came in the house crying. I think I was maybe 37 years old, 38. That's wrong. I think it was about 9 years old, and it shouldn't have happened. And that girl beat me silly. Anyway, so hold it. That's not a lie. That's the truth. Okay? I was raised not to hit her. I didn't hit her. But she cleaned my house. Anyway, so not the point. She's now an MMA fighter or something. I don't know what she does. But she beat me up. I went in the house crying, blah, 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 blah. And lo and behold, my dad came home a half hour later and heard from my mom that I got beat up by a girl in the front yard, which is not really cool. I'm upstairs boo-hooing about it because, you know, my image is hurt and all these other things. I'm a guy. I'm a man. I got slaughtered by this girl. She outweighed me. She outsized me. And she punched me like crazy. Not the point. The point of the matter is I'm upstairs crying, and I'm thinking, you know, when my dad comes home, he's going to understand that his boy's hurting. And I just couldn't wait for my daddy to come home and basically just cuddle me and let me know that I'm his guy, and yeah, I'm still that strong. Mike, you're still a big guy. Don't worry about it. And a snap. My dad, I could hear my mom talking to my dad downstairs, and it wasn't going my direction because apparently I had picked the fight, which I had. And so, lo and behold, up the stairs my dad comes. And I don't have the right belt on, but I wish I did. As he was coming up the stairs, I heard the belt being undone. And I was like, oh, you got to be kidding. Because my dad had a way with the belt that was really kind of final. It could have been the last belt of your life, you know, type thing. And he would come up, and he would, very little discussion, and bam, 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 you get spanked, you hurt even more. And he came up, and he spanked the heck out of me. Now, with the belt. Now, let me say this to you. Remember that old phrase they used to say, the dad or the parent giving the discipline would say this? You know, son, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. That's baloney, okay? That belt hurt me more than it ever did, and he never said that line to me. I thought he was tickled to do it. And sure enough, bam, 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 tiny little discussion, you never do that again, left. And he was mad because I picked the fight and apparently hit the girl first, which I did. It's one of those ones where you take a swing, you make contact, and she's still standing there looking at you like, oh, gee, I'm dead. And I can remember it very much to this day. Point of the matter is he left. My dad never, ever said that you could touch a girl. He said, you don't touch a girl, and you don't start a fight, and I had violated one of his rules. He explained to me a few years later before he passed why he did that to me. He only hit me a couple times with the belt, and he said, I hit you because you violated the first thing that's never hit a girl, and I don't even want you to start an argument with a girl, and I always want you to respect girls. And I got it a little bit older as an 11, 12-year-old, and right after that my dad died. But the point was he was doing something to me that hurt. so that it would develop something in me so I'd have it for the rest of my life. And that would be the respect of women and the respect toward girls. That's why he did that stuff. A loving father does those kind of things that would benefit me for the rest of my life. And if that's how my earthly father acted, how much more my heavenly father, hold it, who's involved in every aspect of my life, how much my heavenly father, who because now I believe in Jesus Christ, has put the Holy Spirit within me to tutor me and teach me, not just in the big stuff with the belts and those kind of things, but in the little interactions and little things I do with people. I'm constantly learning from him. And you know what? This word in here, it says discipline, is the word that means corrector that you see in this text. It means it's correcting as far as for wrong that's been done, but also showing the right way. My dad gave the order, never start. That's why I haven't hit half of you women in here. It's because I got beat back then. Never start a fight with a girl and never hit a girl. Cool. Learned that lesson, which is why many of you haven't been struck in this very congregation. Okay, I'm just having fun with you. The truth of the matter is this, that this is hard teaching. That the God of the universe, not my dad, that the God of the universe who couldn't, let's just lay it on the table, could stop hardship from happening to me, could make my life easy, could put the 75 carat diamond in my yard. This God of the universe who controls everything could do that, but has chosen to allow me, and hold it, not just chosen to allow, maybe has caused some things to happen in my life, not for my good, it'll make me more like Christ, but for his good in me. You hear me? Remember what Paul said? He wanted to be poured out like a drink offering. It wasn't him. It was all about the Lord. And maybe this very thing was the furtherance of his kingdom. And saw him with an administrative assistant who's 3.5 weeks from dying. And she has the perspective of walk with Christ and says, this is a good thing that's happening. And God is using it for his glory. And I just want to say back to her, but Bonnie, you're dying. You are going to die. And it didn't bother her what it cost to have the impact that it was having on her family. You notice on your sheet it says that this is hard teaching. You know what the hard teaching is? That they don't tell you when you come to Christ. I came to Christ to believe in Jesus as my Savior because somebody stood at the front of the auditorium and said this to a very troubled young teenager. If you come to Jesus, he will take all your problems away. Okay, now you got me listening. This is like the car salesman who says, no payments on this car, just drive it off the lot. You got my interest. He said, and you know what? In addition to that, when you come to Jesus Christ, it's not that he will bless you, but your life will be so peaceful. Things will go so well. And he gave out this whole line of stuff like that. And you know what I did? I stepped up and came forward when they gave the invitation, and I received Jesus as my Savior. You know why? By then I was in a rotten alcoholic home where there were no parents, and I wanted some what he was talking about. And that guy to this day will go down as the biggest liar in my life. Ooh. You know why? What he should have said was this. You come to Jesus Christ. Your sins will be forgiven forever. And the promise is that you will go to be with him forever in eternity. You'll be in his presence. For the time you're on earth right here, God's going to own you and do what he wants to do with you to further his kingdom. And in some people's cases sitting right here, it may cost your happy and nice and calm life and maybe even life itself. And that's what you're signing up for. And he's going to teach you and he's going to school you and bring things into your life, all to make you more like Jesus Christ, to make you more effective for his kingdom and his glory. And then what he should have said, who's with me who wants to do that? And somebody like me may have thought about it 2 or 3 more times before saying, I want to be part of God's program. The tough, hard teaching here is this, that when you came to Jesus Christ, you entered God's private school. And when you entered God's private school, you gave him total control and said, whatever you want, whenever you want it, wherever you want it, I am yours. You gave up your freedoms, you gave up your rights. Now use me where you see fit. That's what conversion really is. And that's what walk in Christ continues to be. And for those of us in here who have known Jesus Christ for more than a couple of weeks, we may have to go back in our lives several times and review that very commitment. Because it's not always easy. It's not always fun. And I'm sorry, when you get home, there is not a diamond in your backyard of 75 carats. It doesn't work that way. You are now in the process of being tutored taught by the Holy Spirit, one on one. And you can't hide anything. You can't look away. It's one on one every single minute. And that's what he's doing. And for me, I need to be teachable in this whole process. Now, listen to this. Here's the awkward thing you never saw coming, I guarantee you, this morning. In light of everything I've just said, therefore, in light of everything I've just said, listen to this. The attitude that develops in me because of this all going on, with the tough stuff and the hardships and etc., is one of thankfulness and praise. That I can praise Him in this storm. In fact, I do praise Him in this storm. And you know what? I need to get to the place in my walk with Christ where I praise Him for this storm. Pardon me, casting crowns. I'm working on your words, okay? I need to praise Him for this storm. Because He either caused it or allowed it for His purposes. Wow. So me as His children, we need to be retooled. We need to think about stuff. Most of the people come in this door here. How was your week? No, it was bad. I'm just so grumpy, mad. Yeah, that's what it looks like half the time. And half the time, that's true. I shouldn't be taking an odd attitude. I come in and I've had a really bad week. It's been a tough week. God's been there for me. I can't wait to see what God wants to do through this. I walk through the whole different attitude. I need to be retooled to understand. Not that I need to run from everything that's tough in my life, but I try to look and see what God's teaching me and what His purposes might be and how is He tutoring me individually, not like you, but me individually, to make different components in my life like Jesus Christ on the inside. And then once that's retooled, it comes out on the outside. Look at your notes. There's a purpose here. It's in verse 10. For they, the fathers disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. My dad's best to him was a belt, okay? But He, God, disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. Notice the outline there of purpose, verse 10, that we may share in His holiness. We get quality discipline from our quality God. Listen to that. I get quality discipline from our quality God. Hold it, I'm not done. How much quality is there in our God? Total quality. I get total quality discipline from the quality of our God, which is total. Meaning I am being reshaped and remolded and made more like Him. Refined to have a holy character. Sharing in His holiness, which is one of His key characteristics. And then keep looking on your outline. It produces in verse 11 a character of righteousness and peace. Let me read it for you. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Think of the belt. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Let me stop right there and talk about what trained is for just a moment in the Greek. Training, you might think that training is, I have us all next week wear our athletic shoes, our athletic shorts and our tops, and if you're with me, a ball cap. And we're going out there and we're running 5 miles instead of having church. We're all going to be in training together. Well, that's great, but that's not training. This word training means training for something specifically. Meaning, some of you in here might rather be doing stuff off the high dive. You don't really need that 5 mile run. So you're not going to do track and field. And you're not going to run a biathlon, triathlon, or whatever athlon you want to do. You're not going to do that. It's not you. But you love to dive off the high dive. And so you know what? Your training might be the fact that you're going to go out right there. And you're going to learn how to start doing gymnastic moves off the high dive. And you're going to learn how to hit the water with your face down. Not flat, because that flat thing is really something. So they're going to teach you how to do that. And your training is going to be completely different. And for those of you who are going to throw the shot put, you're going to meet over there. We're going to pick up big rocks and throw them around for a while. And train for the shot put. But anybody else who wants to run, 5 miles with me, let's go. Put your outfit on. You got it. This word training is an athletic term. That means conditioning for a specific event. Ooh! And it's overwhelming when you think of it this way, that it's your personal God of the universe who knows you best and knows where He wants to use you and how to use you. He's the one doing this training. He knows what kind of training you need, which is why your training, your hardship, your suffering is different than mine. You might be, and you are, being taught something different than I am in those tough situations of life. I saw something that I wanted to share with you this morning. I was reading an old interview that Lou Holtz, when he used to be the coach of the Notre Dame football team, said. Listen to this, okay? I got to read it so I get it right. Lou Holtz said this about his Notre Dame team. Somebody asked him a question about how hard a disciplinarian he was. And he said this: when it comes to discipline here at Notre Dame, we ask three questions. One, will it make him a better man? Two, will it make him a better student? Three, will it make him a better athlete? If the answer is yes, then we demand that he do the disciplines that we have for him, the training that we have for him. And then he said this, but the next step is up to him. An individual athlete at Notre Dame has the choice that when they are disciplined, to either become bitter or to become better. Their choice. And I thought to myself, if that isn't the plight that we're in, as to when we get in hardship and suffering, do I get bitter and grumpy and it has no effect on me except it embitters me? Or do I look to God in a whole new and fresh way and say, teach me and develop me? That's the challenge. Would you bow with me for some more focused thinking and prayer? I am really concerned that we reset our hearts in this matter, because we as children of God, people who believe in Jesus Christ, have a relationship with the God of the universe, we totally trust Him. And we realize our life is totally in His hand. And we realize that God has plans way bigger and way different than anything I could imagine, but especially during times of hardship. And my response can only be one thing when I start to think that out. Thank you. I praise you because you've lovingly allowed these situations to come to me for my benefit and your ultimate benefit. Now, with your head bowed, think back to the hardship you thought about at the beginning of this time. Put your mind on it right now. Put your mind's finger on it right now. What is that hardship you thought about? Now, as you're thinking about that situation again, think of it in light of the fact that the God of the universe is individually working on you to make you more like Jesus through that hardship. Your thinking, your character, your reactions, the inner heart of you is being worked on to be more like Jesus Christ through this time of suffering. And now I'm going to ask you to do a very bold and different thing that you've never done before. Would you now talk to God and thank Him for this point of suffering? Would you now talk to God and praise Him for allowing or causing this hardship to happen to you and be part of your life? Would you do that right now? Our Father, you do hear the prayers across Candlewood of your genuine children who are genuinely thanking you for the hardship that you've allowed in their life, the hardship that you've caused in their life, the suffering that you've allowed in their life, all for your fantastic purpose and all for your glory. And Father, we as a group right now, we thank you. We praise you that you would consider us with a discipline that comes from the most loving Father of all time, you, the God of the universe. Father, we trust you. And we give ourselves completely to you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.